This is an interview with Clayton Reif for the Porter County Sesquicentennial Oral History Project, sponsored by the Porter County Library System and the Westchester Public Library. The interview is being conducted at his home at 1056 South Balmsbridge Road in Coutts on June 18, 1986. My name is Sue Schoen. Clayton, do the two libraries have your permission to make the following interview available for public use? And then if it's okay with you, Clayton, just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, first of all, where were you born?
Well, I was born in a old house about 5 miles south west of Alfrazo, and about a quarter of a mile west on, I don't know what the number of the road is now, it's a road that goes straight west from the junction of Route 2 and several other roads there.
Okay. And what year were you born?
1894.
Okay. And when did your parents come to Porter County? Do you remember that?
Well, I think they were both, well, my father was born in Hebron. Uh-huh. But my mother was born in Porter County.
Okay. And what were their occupations, your mother and father?
Well, of course, those days, mother, they just raised the family and kept house.
Right, yeah. But your father, what, farmed
well,
then, or what did he
do? He had a farm, uh-huh. And he also had a threshing machine that harvested the grain. Nowadays they have combines.
Okay. And how many were in your family?
Well,
how many children?
Five children.
Five children? You had five brothers and sisters?
No.
Four?
Four.
Okay, you.
There were three boys and two girls.
Okay. Now, are you the only one left?
No, I have a younger sister, lives in Valparaiso.
Oh, and what's her name?
Mrs. Edith Burse.
Oh, okay.
She's a widow.
Okay. Now, can you describe the log house that you lived in?
I have a picture for it.
Well, since we don't have any place for a picture, can you just describe it? Was there an upstairs in it?
An attic.
An attic?
Yes. And a stairway going up to it.
Were the bedrooms, then did you sleep upstairs? The kids were upstairs?
Well, I was, my sister and I were the only one that was born there, see.
Oh, I see.
The rest of them were born in another location.
Oh, okay. Where did you attend school at?
Well, I started the school in the fall of 1899. Mm-hmm. It was what they called the Jones School. It was a nice new brick building, and it was about three quarters of a mile from the house on a sort of winding road.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school there until March, and then the folks moved out south and east of Loon Grove. Another farm. Father bought that place in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this school. It was a one-room school. Had all eighth grades.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, 15 children. Good weather in the wintertime. We had a few more, some of the older boys that worked summers at school in the winter.
And this was over by Boone Grove?
Yes.
I see. So do you remember the name of that school? Did it have a name?
Yes, Malone School.
District,
I don't know what the number was, they all had a number.
Okay.
District school.
So then did you go to eighth grade there at that school?
I went to the eighth grade, and when I graduated from the eighth grade, I was the only one in the class.
You were the only eighth grader.
Only eighth grader.
Did you go on into high school? Was there high school?
I went to high school in Boone Grove.
Yeah, and then you completed high school at Boone Grove.
No, I didn't. They only had 3 grades there.
Oh.
High school. So I went down to Hebron to get my 12th grade.
Your diploma, huh?
Diploma. Well, I got 2 diplomas. I got 1 diploma from Boone Grove School and 1 from Hebron. And these grandchildren, looking through my things one day, they said, "Say, Grandfather, how come you got 2 diplomas?" Well, I said, "I was extra smart. I went to do it."
Did they believe that?
No, they knew I was kidding them.
What was your wife's name, Clayton?
Eva Nolan.
Eva?
Eva.
Nolan.
N-O-L-A-N-D.
Okay. And when were you married then?
20th of October 1921.
Okay. And what was your mother and father's name? Let's go back to that.
The first name?
Yeah, first.
My mother's name was Elizabeth, and the father's name was Charles.
Okay, do you remember your mother's maiden name?
Yes, Aldenbrand.
Okay, Aldenbrand?
Aldenbrand.
Okay. And how about your children? Now, how many children did you have?
Well, we had 3.
Uh-huh.
2 of them still living.
Okay, can you name your children then from the oldest to the youngest?
Well, the oldest was Phil.
Yeah.
And the youngest was Noah.
Okay. And then who was in the middle? You said you had 3.
Yeah. Well, who was in the middle? Let's see, she's married now. That's Charla.
Charla.
Charla. C-H-A-R-L-A. Charla.
Okay. So have you been farming all your life then?
Well, I spent a little time in college.
Oh, you went to college. Now, where did you go to college at?
Purdue.
Oh, you did.
But I didn't get finished.
Did you go to Purdue right after you graduated from high school?
No, that's where I didn't have money to go. And it had only cost $2,000 for the 4 years. I didn't even have a start.
Yeah.
So at 17, well, I went down there to a short course, winter short course for farming. Anybody that had an 8th grade education could join, sign up. And I was out of high school 5 years before I got a chance to go to Purdue. And I signed up then for the general agriculture course. And I was of the draft age, of course. And they drafted me.
So you got drafted before you finished?
Oh, yes. Before I got the first semester finished.
Oh, wow.
I signed up. It was in September, and they sent me back home. They said if I went back home and helped with the harvest, that they'd call me back in September, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back in September in 18, the last 4 months of the war. I was in camp. I was still there in camp when the armistice was signed, but we were supposed to leave the next week after signing of the armistice.
So this was the First World War?
First World War, yes.
Okay. So then you never had to leave since they signed the armistice?
I had to take the training. We had the training there. In the motor truck corps. It was a new outfit that was supposed to replace the cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
So they told us.
Right.
But we didn't.
But then you never had to go to war. You didn't have to.
No, I didn't get across.
Well, that's good.
You missed it by 1 week.
Yeah, you lucked out. Okay. How about, one of the questions is, describe a typical day in your childhood. Did you have to work a lot?
Oh, yes. I cultivated corn with horses when I was 11 years old. Walking. I had to walk behind.
Behind the 2 horses or 1 horse?
2 horses.
So that was part of your chores then?
That was part of the work. Well, then I had my chores in the evening. You know, we had hogs and we had chickens and we had sheep and we had cattle, dairy cows at that time.
So you had to milk in the morning and the evening by hand? So that kept you real busy.
Walk home from high school and milk my cows.
So
father would be in the field. Maybe he wouldn't, if he worked late, I'd have all to do.
Okay. Did you do extra things like play ball or sports at school? Did they have that then?
Well, Boone Grove, we had a assistant principal, she's only a couple of years older, I guess, than the oldest boy in high school. And she was from Edmondson, Northwestern College, where she got her degree. And she was assistant principal. And she was telling them all that we had a baseball game, you know. And she was telling the boys, especially, about basketball, what it was, about concern. And of course, we got interested. And I don't know how, but anyhow, we managed to raise up enough money to send by her. She went home weekends, back to Evanston home weekends. Mm-hmm. For her to bring us back a ball and the nets, the hoops. And we took some boards out of the old horse barn that was there, school, to make a backstop. Went over in the adjoining neighbor's woods and got us some poles to mount them on.
Yeah.
And we installed a basketball court right outdoors under the maple trees.
So then you had a team, right?
Well, we didn't have a team to make. Well, we had a team of boys, yes. But we had to have two teams to play.
Yeah.
So the girl said, well, this organized us. So we had to play by girls' rules.
Boys against the girls.
Yeah. And of course we got called for fouls more.
Yeah.
I think we did, but we couldn't argue with the instructor. Well, we did once in a while get into an argument, whether it was a foul or not. Oh, we had a lot of fun there.
Okay, so then when did you leave home? When did you leave your home then, and when you got married?
Well, when I went to Purdue, I went to school. And when I went for the last year of high school, I went to Hebron and boarded with an aunt, my father's sister. And I either walked home or got a ride home, or they'd come and get me if it was bad weather. That was the way. And then when I went down there, I'd walk over to the switch and stop the combination train.
So that's how you got home.
I went by train, horse and buggy, and by foot.
Oh. Okay, so what was your first job then?
Well, my first job when I got out of the Army, see, they gave us government training in mechanics, auto mechanics, because we're supposed to know how to repair and drive trucks.
Yeah.
The big old Army trucks.
Mm-hmm. So that was.
So my first job then when I came home, I got a job in a garage, mechanic in a garage.
Now where was that at?
In Counts.
Okay, so who'd you work for then in Counts?
Well, I think the bank owned the building at that time, and I think Ryan, the old name of Ryan, was a mechanic.
Uh-huh.
And he was about to quit, so I went down and talked to Mr. Cannon, and he gave me a job.
Now, where was this station at?
Well, it's where the drugstore is now.
Right in the middle of town then, huh?
Yeah.
I see. So how long did you work there?
Well, I worked there. Well, it changed hands then. A man by the name of Beale leased it he got the agency for the Ford, the Model T. About 2 years, I was there 2 years, and then he took over.
And about how old were you when you worked there?
Oh, I was about 25.
So then how old were you when you got married?
27.
Let me see. So then when you worked there for a couple years?
Well, I was there 3 years altogether.
And then what? What happened after?
Well, the folks bought this farm out here.
Your mom and dad?
No. My wife.
Oh, you were married then? Okay.
Yeah, we lived with the Nolans.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. And they came out here. I moved out here. And, I come out here, and it was in August, and I think Mr. Wilcox died the 22nd of September. He's still here, and the nurse was here taking care of him. He had cancer.
Now, what year was this?
1924. And, there was an old gentleman by the name of Doon, Dan Doon. He was in his 70s. He was an old friend of Nolan's. And he worked for somebody over at East here during the summer. But then he didn't have any place to stay for winter. So when he was in the office, Dr. Nolan's office, and he asked Dr. Nolan if he knew somebody where he could stay all winter, that he could work for his board, whatever it was. Right away, the doctor said, yes, he's going to fill out that the Bill Couch plays. He shook me.
Oh, yeah?
So he brought him out here.
Yeah.
And you know, that old booger, I was only about 20, I was 30.
Yeah.
And that he was in his 70, and he could do as much work as I could, and I really was good.
Wow. So then he helped you farm.
Yeah. Well, he helped me in the wintertime, you know. We cut solid wood.
Yeah.
We had five heating appliances on this farm that time.
You had five?
Yeah.
Wow.
Burnt wood.
What were you heating out here?
Huh?
What were you heating besides the house? And the...
Well, I had a little water heater in my stock tank. It's a big stock tank, you know. I didn't want it to freeze up.
Yeah.
And then that old summer kitchen.
Yeah.
He stayed in that. That was
it. And that was right here.
Now the one over there.
Yeah, but it was in back of this house.
Well, it sat right up within 3 feet adjoining on this place. It had a little bridge across.
I see. So you kept that heated then?
He stayed in there. That was it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He stayed there.
Yeah.
So then he worked for his room and board.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I see.
So when spring come, well then of course that party that had it in the summer would come and get him, take him back.
Yeah.
And I think he stayed here with me 2 winters. See, this house didn't have any basement under it. Any part of the basement at all.
Uh-huh.
Because it was built before the drains were swamp, and Jim dug a hole 4 feet deep and run full of water when the water was high.
Yeah.
But after the river was drained the marshes, well, water level fell about 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah. So what year did you move to this house? Do you remember?
That was in 24.
1924.
But the wife didn't come out the first winter. She stayed. She and Philip stayed at her folks.
I see.
See, the old house didn't have any heat on those old stoves. And of course, that one stove, one or two stoves made enough heat for me.
Right. So then
we dug your basement out.
Oh, you did then?
Defense, that old fellow and me. Oh. Yeah. We had one horse hitched onto a scraper, a slip scraper. And I had about three blocks high, crawl space under there. Get that old scraper under there, and then we had a long chain. And he, Dan would lead the horse, and I'd run the old scraper. And he'd hit something a little hard, like, and throw me up against the floor.
Sounds like a job.
Well, I got next to it, I just leave go of the handles. Got listening. One or two strikes on this floor.
So can you tell me anything about the Indians that were out here? Do you remember any stories?
Nothing, only one was the legend or folklore. A man by the name of Klaus told that his folks, they lived here on the river somewhere, and seems to me he was over in on the Jasper side of the river. And he was just a kid, he said. They come through here with a horse, wagon, horses and wagon, and there was Indians camped on that hill.
On the other side of this road?
On the side of this road.
Where Phil's house is?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of Indians were they? Do you know?
I don't know. I suppose, I think they say the Potawatomis.
Yeah.
Inhabited this part of the territory. But we find all kinds of artifacts.
Arrowheads and everything.
Artifacts.
Now you find arrowheads around your farm here.
Well, it's on these sand hills.
Yeah.
See that other ground, low ground, that was swamp.
Yeah.
I found one axe hand over there across the river. That's the only artifact, Indian artifact I found.
Okay, how about this tree out here by your...
The big tree?
Yeah.
Now, I'm told that tree was the landmark for that trailing, winding road.
For Bombs Bridge Road?
Yeah, for the Bombs Bridge Road. You could see that from the other side of the marsh ran at you. Go down that little hill. That was all water. By the way, this old fellow that worked for me during the winter said he used to carry mail from Couch to Wheatfield and go that road, Osmond Road. Well, he said in the summertime he could get a little one-horse cart. It was fine.
Yeah.
But when the water got high, he had to ride the horseback.
Yeah.
He had to swing his horse across that place down there where that grade is.
Well, now the water gets so high, I can't imagine trying to get across there before they had the river dredged out, you know, the way it is now.
Well, it almost went over that road in 83.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Almost made it.
Yeah. So how about any other stories around this area that you can remember that you can tell me? Now, I read in the paper where there was a little town out here. Mayville or something like
Mayville.
Mayville.
Oh, right over there. There was a few remains of a house, a building, across the road. See, I bought that after I bought it from Cornelius. I don't remember now, in the 50s, I guess, when I bought that. And you could see broken dishes, parts of broken dishes, and that you built, there was a house there when you plowed the field.
Now, where's this you're talking?
Baby, just over the, up on that bank, just across the way there.
Across the road here.
Mm-hmm, across the road. But I saw here in a while back in the paper that Bayville took territory over as far as the fence place. That's over a mile from here.
But it wasn't. It was right in this area.
Yeah, and that house, I think some people by the name of, Garrison? Lived over there. One of the settlers in that house.
Uh-huh.
It was a frame building. There used to be two longhouses close here, one at you across the river.
Yeah.
And hit the just before you hit that old T road over
there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's Sam Dank, where there was pine trees at the time. There used to be a house, log house there. And then there used to be a log house just the other side of Knievel's there.
North of Knievel's?
North of Knievel's house there on the hill.
Yeah.
The log house was down on the flat bottom there. And that was there, and I moved here.
Now you remember, I suppose, when this Balmsbridge Road was a dirt road?
I sure do.
And that was the only road that went from Valpo down to what, Wheatfield?
Wheatfield.
And that was back horse and buggy, right?
Yeah.
You remember horse and buggy days? And
yes. See, some people by the name of Donnelly moved down here. Their farm had joined Dad's farm over at Baboon Grove. Mm-hmm. And the neighbors over there moved him down here, moved the Donnellys down here with their teams and wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a dance pavilion down there on the grounds at that time. And when they got ready to start back home, I forget what his name was now. But they held, Donnelly says to the neighbors, said, "Now, you fellas, when you get your clothing done, your corn laid by, come down and we'll have a picnic." Well, we got most of them, I guess, got a notice letter from him when they could come. So they said, "Well, we'll go down to Donnelly's." And the grandson and the son went to school with me at the Bloom School. So I was well acquainted with them.
Yeah.
Well, so, we had a carriage, you know, with a fringer on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, somehow the top got torn off, and Father bought it at a sale somewhere. And I don't forget, it was it had wood wheels, wooden spokes, and when they get dried out, when they rolled along, they'd squeak.
Yeah.
Fighting mother off of it. She said right there by that wheel. She says, "Father, this old wheel's gonna break off someday." "No," I says, "it rains, it'll swell up, it don't squeak." So we came down here. And I remember coming up this little grade right out here. See, that was just about as steep as a hill.
Yeah.
See, they cut the hill down, huh?
Yeah, they cut through the hill.
The sand must have been a foot deep. And it was dried out, and the old horses had to pull hard because they don't. The buggy was cutting in.
Yeah.
And they usually put, when they get too bad, long as the fall, you know, put marsh hay on those sand spots. Keep them sinking in so deep.
Yeah.
Well, we got down here to Donnelly's. Of course, I hung up the boys right away. And there's a fellow there about our age, the son of the proprietor, Jim Collier. And 1903 that was. And Mr. Collier had a launch. A launch, you know.
No, I don't know. You'll have to tell me what that
is. Well, that's a boat with a motor in it.
Oh, okay.
And name of it was the Iroquois, I remember that.
Yeah.
And it was about one of the largest boats on the river at that time. And of course, those kids, we all had about 10 years old, you know, we all sized up that boat. So we did a boat ride. So he finally took some of the older folks, you know, down the river. They said, so when we came back, like, someone says, "How about giving the kids a ride?" Oh, there was about 10 or a dozen of us. And, yeah. "How much?" "Oh, dime a piece." So, they collected the money, and he started up the engine. It was inboard for her.
Yeah.
And, we got in. Of course, I never was over deep water before. I was leery. Couldn't swim sides. So after they got in, we got to go, and they said, "Take you down to Prairie Bend." That's where my farm is now. That bend in the river. was a dividing line between the farms.
So you went, when that's when you were just a kid though?
Yeah, right? I told the kids, I said, now I come down here when I was 10 years old.
In the boat, huh? Now
And the trees just about met in places over the river.
Yeah. How about this, tell me what you know about this Lew Wallace that came and lived out here.
Talking
about boats.
Yeah, he had a houseboat down there.
Uh-huh. Now, was this down at Baum's Bridge?
Well, it was right beside the clubhouse that we had.
And the clubhouse isn't here now?
No. My sister-in-law had it. She sold it to these people here in this first house. It caught fire. Harry Newsbaum, down here in 29, he bought the Wallace, 40 feet wide, I don't know how long it was, the property.
Uh-huh.
And they had a pole shed on there, and it had a tar paper roof on. But the wind had blown the paper all off, of course it leaked.
Uh-huh.
The only thing it didn't damage was the fish box. It had a fish box, a tank, in the middle of it. That was still full of water.
Now this, you're talking about this was a wooden boat.
Wooden boat, and it had partly tar paper roof boards. Then it had a canvas that drooped down in front. And there was a bench in back of this canvas, curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got in where the birds were flying and ducks were flying, they let this curtain fly, let the boat drift down and almost amongst them, you know.
Yeah.
And then they let this curtain down gradually. Then they stand on these benches and shoot.
So it was like a duck blind.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So this Lew Wallace came out here to hunt?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he came out here for?
He came out here to hunt, and he came out here to write part of Ben Hur.
Well, that's what I heard. Now, he was from where? Where did he live?
Crawfordsville, Indiana.
And he'd come up here just to hunt on the Kankakee River, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was some nobility from Europe used to come here and hunt.
Who, do you know who that was?
No, I know. From Germany, I think. Some of them were from Germany.
Now, were you around when that Lew Wallace was here?
No, I never met the Lew Wallace himself. His son is the only one I met. When the general passed away, his son took this over.
I see.
And Wilcox kind of had the overseeing of this boathouse and the clubhouse. He did. And the clubhouse didn't belong to Wilcox. Belonged to the Pittsburgh Club. There were about 20 of those fellows. I guess they were all about millionaires. One was a brewer and one was a stockbroker. They were the only two that I ever met. The rest was all dead.
So what do you remember about the this old hotel on the river now that's still there? It was a hunting club or something?
Yes, the Colliers run that for a hotel and boarding place for the hunters.
Now the Colliers lived there?
Colliers lived there.
And then what, in the summertime, these people would come out and stay there and hunt?
No, they come out in the spring. In the cold
weather. Spring?
Yeah, in March.
And where'd they come from?
Well, most of them come from Pittsburgh, I suppose.
Oh, Pittsburgh? So okay. Then did they have a guide or something?
Well, there's some fellows around here, Tad Starkey was a young fellow then.
He
pushed boat for him.
Yeah.
I
remember Tad, yeah.
Tad Starkey. And the old brewer would bring out his cakes of beer and give Tad the job of bottling it up. He told me.
And then what, he sold it down there?
Oh, no, they drank it.
Oh, they drank it.
That was for the hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. They had a whole sack full of ice and beer bottles on the ice. They take that with them in the boat when they went out.
I see. So what were they hunting?
Mostly ducks and geese.
Has there been any other animals found out along here? I've seen pictures of wolves and coyotes and different animals like that. Have you seen any of those?
Oh, there's some coyotes around, but I guess they're part dog.
Yeah.
I had a dog that was part coyote.
Oh, did you?
He's the smartest dog I ever had.
I bet. Where'd you get him at?
Well, my old female raised him.
Oh.
And when he was a pup, he was gray. Gray, rabbit gray. And he got, about 3 or 4 months old. He'd get into the food dish and growl and fight and snap at his mother. I didn't know. I figured then he must have some coyote in him.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got full grown, he had ground fur, But he was very careful, even though a stranger couldn't pet him.
It's a good watchdog,
Couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
Couldn't touch him. He was take him over to the clinic to get him vaccinated for rabies,
Yeah.
And I could pick him up and carry him. And Lewis, he'd go with me and hold him on his lap. Well, Lewis said he didn't want to bark at me. No, he's all right now. We got home. Well, Lewis opened the door, he jumped out, turned around, and Lewis was getting out and started barking at him right away. Lewis said, Andy, you killed him right there.
Do you remember any tornadoes or fires or train wrecks or anything like that?
What tornado we had in 17.
1917?
Oh, that was
something. Were you living here then?
No, I was in the home of Moon Grove.
Oh, so this hit
lived about 3/4 mile north of the tornado, and this was by about that much. That, they say that was, was a mile wide, cut a swath a mile wide, from Hebron to Cubs.
So that was a mess, I suppose, huh?
Oh.
So how old would you have been when that came through?
Well, let's see, 17, oh, I was minus 20, I suppose.
Oh, okay. So you remember pretty well, huh?
Yeah.
Did it hit a lot of homes, or?
Oh, yeah. Some homes just picked up the whole thing and took it away, and they never had a thing to, never found a brick. They even took the bricks on the foundation.
How about any train wrecks? You ever remember train wrecks in the house?
They had it before I come, years before I came down here, they had a train wreck down here, it was their water station.
Mm-hmm.
Out west of Couch there. Had a bad train wreck. The train had pulled in there and got coal and water and went to start the thing, and they got it on the center, what they call the center. Steve Angel gets on the center, and then it moves it away, And another train came in. There was no siding or nothing there. Another train came in and hit it. And it was a circus train.
Oh, my gosh. So was the animals and everything were in the train?
Well, I don't know what the people were.
Yeah.
Most of them were on people, killed the people, several people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that was before.
You remember somebody telling you about
the folks telling all it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about blizzards? We've had a lot of blizzards the last couple of years. You remember the weather ever being this bad?
Oh,
cold?
Yes. Yes.
Of course, I suppose you were snowed in a lot out here. Before, they got the snow plows and all that stuff.
Yes, they only had one snow plow for Pleasant Township.
And it didn't come out here too often, I suppose.
No.
Yeah. comments about the way it is. How about the Depression? What do you remember about the Depression?
Well, it's about as bad as it is now.
Is it?
Yeah,
as far as farming goes,
I suppose.
Well,
yes, farming, and there isn't much difference.
Nobody really went hungry around this area.
We had a living. Yeah, I grew potatoes, and we had our own garden, our own meat, our own flour.
You were self-sufficient anyway. We had milk.
Yeah, I had our own milk and butter and eggs, all of that.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people didn't have that.
Yeah.
Now they're on welfare.
Right. How about the Porter County Centennial? Now, do you remember that? I know Neva said she was in the pageant. Do you remember when they had the Porter County Centennial? That was in 1936. You might not have been involved in that.
Huh? I don't remember so much about that.
Don't remember that? How about the radios, and you used to have a radio for instead of TV.
That was when radios first came around, before they were manufactured. A lot of fellows made their own set. I made one.
Did you? So you made your own radio?
The first one I had.
And you could pick up the radio stations?
Yeah,
there.
I got, I could pick up the radio station at that time. I was going to say I got the news of the Japs attacked on that, but I didn't. It was a Montgomery Ward 3-2 radio on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I got the news from KDKA.
Yeah.
I heard President Roosevelt talking, and I couldn't believe what he said.
Shocked, huh?
I couldn't. If he hadn't been telling it, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah. How about important people in Couts? Do you remember any important people that came to Couts? I know the Trumans came in on the train.
I didn't get to see them.
You missed that, huh?
Yeah, I was out of work.
You were probably farming, huh?
Yeah.
You remember anybody else that came through town, or?
Well, some of the Legionnaires went down. Raymond Mackey and Cy Wise.
That's when Truman's came, you mean?
Yeah, when Truman.
Yeah. And I guess the train just stopped briefly, huh?
Yeah, it didn't stay long.
Didn't stay long. How about gypsies? Do you remember any gypsies coming through here?
Well, I think there was one time they came through here.
When you lived here?
Yes. We didn't let them in.
You didn't let them in? Did they have wagons? Or?
Yeah, they had wagons, horses and wagons.
How about tramps? Did you ever have any tramps come knocking at your door out here?
Oh, we had. Well, you know, during the Depression, in the 30s there, we had a lot of fellas who would come. Several fellas would come. They'd come on the train down here when the trains, the old freight train, long freight train, they'd drop off there at Werner's Crossing there and walk down the road. One fellow came here one morning. And we just got through breakfast. We'd had pancakes for breakfast, some of that homegrown flour.
Yeah.
And Sarah Beth and Phil, they were just youngsters then. They weren't even teenagers, kids. And so he knocked at the door and wanted to know if we had any, if we'd had breakfast. I said, yes, we've had breakfast, but we have something left over maybe if you want something to eat. And yes, says. So he walked around. We had a wood pile out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in, and the kids sat there and counted how many potatoes he said, "Don't eat."
He's hungry.
You have to ask Phil.
He probably hadn't eaten for a while.
No. And he was getting some coffee and he had pancakes. And I don't know, it might have been some bacon or ham or something on the table too. Probably bacon. Anyhow, he had good fill of breakfast and he walked out and he saw that book.